Amen, church. Would you give the Lord praise for the wetter hands reading that? Doing a great job. Thank y'all so much. Hey, thank you so much for being with us tonight. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open them. We'll be in Luke chapter 2 this evening. I want to say thank you so much for being here and for worshiping with us tonight. If I haven't had the chance to meet you yet, my name's Seth. I'm on staff here. I get to serve this body, and I'm just so glad that you guys chose to worship with us tonight. Christmas is an amazing time. It's an amazing time for a lot of people. It's an amazing time for our culture. We get to just experience fun, happy things, lights, movies, all the different things. But it's a very special time for the church. The church gets to gather together to remember and reflect on what Christmas is even all about. How for 2,000 years, people have come together to sing the truths that we just sang tonight and to read the stories that we're going to read tonight. And so I'm grateful that you chose to be with us. The Bible says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." I think if we were to do an honest assessment, if we were to do honest self-evaluation, whether it's personally or of our church or even of Christians all across our region and even America, I think the only way that this verse would be true of us is if it read as, "Be anxious about many things, and the peace of God will be something that the Bible only talks about, but we don't actually live out." There seems to be a disconnect, right, from what the Bible talks about when it talks about this thing called peace, and from what we in 21st century America experience. You do a very quick Google search on anxiety, and you will have resources abundant, I promise you. There is a ton out there, but what does the Christmas story, what does this passage have to do with anything like anxiety? During this Advent season specifically, I think God's giving us a unique opportunity to reverse the current state of anxiety, of worry, of fear, and of strife within our own hearts, and to truly walk in the peace of God that the birth of Christ has brought to earth. So, when we think about the passage that we just read, right, many things may come to mind. That may be a very familiar story to you. You may have first heard that when Linus read it on Charlie Brown, right? But whether or not you are familiar with this passage, this is which, by the way, I thought y'all read it way better than Linus did. Seriously, you smashed it. Regardless, whether or not this is a familiar passage to you or not, this is like the crux of the message of the Bible. Everything leading up to this point was about the birth of the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And everything written after it is because Jesus Christ came. So the story is that the Christ was born, the Messiah, that Mary, a virgin, gave birth to a son, and that there were these shepherds out in the field, and all of a sudden, in the middle of the evening, an angel appeared to these shepherds and said, "Hey, just down the road in the city of David, the city of Bethlehem, the Savior of the world, the Christ, the promised one, the one who is the Lord of Lords, was just born." And then something interesting happens. And I want you to kind of place yourself in this situation. Just a couple of good old boys, never meaning no harm, just trying to tend their sheep, right? First off, an angel appears. That in and of itself is kind of wild. And so by the time I'm finally getting over the fact that an angel from heaven just came and told me that the Savior of the world was born, a multitude of heavenly hosts shows up. So if I wasn't shook enough, I sure am by this point. But it's interesting because they came and the angels, the multitude of the heavenly hosts, they began to sing. And we just sang literally two songs about how the angels sing. And that can become something that's kind of monotonous. We think like, oh yeah, Christ was born, the angels sang, right? But what did they sing? What did they sing, and why did they sing that particular song? Go to verse 14 with me. This is the song of the angels. We're going to spend most of our time this evening. In verse 14, it says, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace." Say it with me. "And peace. And peace on earth to people he favors." The birth of Christ, the coming of the Messiah, has a whole lot to do with the idea of peace, and peace as it relates to us personally. What I want to see here tonight, as I was studying and as I was asking God to kind of lead my study and what should I talk about this evening, one thing that really stuck out to me is that I think that there is a direct connection and correlation between the idea of glory to God and peace on earth. Those two things are not separated, but in fact, this song was sung in this particular moment because they have something to do with each other. If you kind of graph it out, it's actually a parallel, the first line and the second line. Glory to peace on earth, or in the highest heaven, to on earth, to God, to people. These two things were never meant to be separated, but actually intricately connected. So what does that mean for us tonight? What does that mean for me and my life and this Christmas season in 2023? Only when your life is spent saying glory to God will you live with peace on earth. Only when your life is spent in every area of your life saying glory to God will you be able to live with the peace on earth that Jesus Christ came to bring. So if you're here tonight and you deal regularly with anxiety, my encouragement to you is this. Do not try to pursue peace. Do not try to pursue peace. I did a Google search, how to get inner peace, and there's like a billion different things that will come up, none of which has anything to do with what we're talking about tonight and what the Bible has to say. If you struggle with anxiety tonight, do not try to pursue peace. Try to pursue proclaiming the glory of God in every area of your life, and I promise you peace will follow. If you don't struggle, quote unquote, with anxiety, if you're the type of person that just, you know, that's just not me. I don't have anxiety. I don't worry about nothing. You know, it's all good. So this message ain't relevant for me. Here's what I'll say to you. When Jesus talked about anxiety, he preached it in a sermon, and there were actually thousands of people on this hillside next to the sea when he started to preach about anxiety. And I don't think he included it in his sermon because he was trying to target a select few that struggled with anxiety. I think he knows the human heart. He knows something about our tendencies, and this message is relevant for all of us. No matter where you're at tonight, I want to encourage you that this message of peace, the gospel of peace, is for you. So what we're going to do tonight is we're going to look at three key areas in life where glorifying God leads to peace. So first, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. First, when we give glory to God, we will have peace with God. When we give glory to God, we will have peace with God. See, there's a reason that the angels came and their song included peace. If peace existed in the world, if peace existed in people's hearts, if peace existed person to person, if peace already existed or could be attained and acquired in any other way on earth between man and God, there would have been no reason for the angels to come and finally sing, "Hey guys, peace on earth is now because of this baby that was born." It would not have been relevant, right? But they came because now something has changed. Something that once was not, now is. Peace on earth. The truth is this. No matter what you've been told, no matter what you've been taught, no matter what you've experienced or you think in your own mind, our default disposition in relationship to the God of the universe is not that of peace. Our default disposition in our relationship to the God of the universe is not that of peace, but of enmity, of separation, of strife. It's not peace. Paul says, he's the author of one of the New Testament books, the book of Romans, and chapter 5, verse 10 of Romans says this, that we were enemies of God. We were at war with Him, His will, and His kingdom because of our sinfulness and rebellion. However, this is the good news. At the beginning of that chapter, at the very beginning of chapter 5 in Romans, Paul gives a beautiful picture of hope for this fundamental problem. He says, therefore, in verse 1 of chapter 5, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Here's the contrast he's trying to paint. He's saying, hey, originally, we were enemies of God. We were separated from Him, and there wasn't a blessed thing we could do about it. However, through faith in Jesus Christ, this one that was born in the city of David on this night, through faith in Him, we have peace with God. And only through faith in Him do we have peace with God. There's no doubt in my mind that for people, and maybe this is your story, there's no doubt in my mind that the search for peace in life falls short because it misses this one single truth, that peace is only possible through faith in Christ. It's only possible there. At His coming came the possibility of being right with God and having peace in our souls, then and only then. I read a story this week that kind of helps kind of illustrate this a little bit, but during World War II, There was a military operation, and there was a lot going on in two different parts of the world. And there was a Japanese soldier who was kind of in the jungle, and he was trying to accomplish this mission that he had been given. And so he goes, and he gets his spot in the jungle, and he hides out. He's got his foxhole, all these different kinds of things. And he spends 20 years in the jungle, because he never received the message that the war was over. Could you imagine coming out of that and being like, guys, nobody was like, hey, where's so-and-so at? I mean, what a nightmare, right? He spent 20 years in the jungle because he never received the message that the war was over. I think similarly in our own lives, I think we continue this strife and this war. We live in an unlocked jail cell as it relates to our relationship with God, because we don't know that the war with God is over. It's done. It is finished. We live in an unlocked jail cell. And oftentimes, I think we keep ourselves in this jail cell. I know in my own life, as I think back and I look back, I find that I'm living in this unlocked jail cell most often when I try to do something that's going to appease the wrath of God. When I think my good works or my good deeds, me being a better person, is going to either please God or appease God. My friends, the war is over. The strife and the enmity between us and God, for those of us who, through faith in Jesus Christ, have trusted in Him, the war is over. We have peace with God because Jesus has come, right? We have peace with God, and we get to live our lives in grace and in freedom and in liberty, knowing that truth. This Christmas season, we celebrate and we worship. Why? Not to attain something, but because something has already happened to us. Because we're free people, free from the bondage and slavery of sin and death. We're free. We get to worship because of that. We all either are or at once were at war with God, but the birth of Christ has made peace with God a reality that's worth spending all of our lives saying glory to God. So When we give God glory, we'll have peace with God. When we give glory to God, we will also have peace within. We'll also have peace within. I think it's important to note that when the angels came and they sang, there was no specific sense in which peace was given. It was generalized, and it feels about as broad as it gets, right? Peace where? On earth. To who? People, right? It's a pretty generalized proclamation, and I think that's intentional. I don't think that's accidental. I think one of the main ways that human beings try to attain and acquire peace is something that is within their own hearts and souls. The type of peace that is most sought after is peace within oneself. It's the peace that the world longs for, and I promise you, we'll give you a laundry list of ways to go and get it yourself. It's the peace that has been sung about, written about, fought over, and chased after throughout all the ages. Because of this constant chase and pursuit after this own kind of inner peace, we can conclude that it has yet to be found anywhere else on earth. Did you know that there are like a bajillion, I don't know if that's the technical term, like a bajillion different phobias out there? You know, like you hear like arachnophobia and all these different kind of phobias, you know? And you may have a phobia, but I know for sure one of my wife's phobias is thalassophobia. It's fear of the sea and the ocean. Now you're saying amen back there, I see. She was like, what are you talking about? It's the fear of the sea, the vastness of it, the depth of it, the chaos of it. It's like a very for real thing, and you may be like about to say amen. But regardless, it exists. But it's interesting, as I was reading this week, deep within the ocean, there's a part of the sea that is never stirred. It's unaffected by the chaos that exists on the surface. And oceanographers have found remains of fish and other sea creatures that have remained undisturbed for hundreds of years. When we think of the sea, this chaotic thing, this thing that is constantly changing and moving, is actually a part of the sea that is undisturbed, unaffected, untouched. And it's called the cushion of the sea. I think that paints a very beautiful picture of what it looks like to have peace within oneself. Peace that the world offers, you will find, will go to and fro with the winds and the waves and the storms of life. But the peace of Christ offers you a peace at such depths in your heart that no matter what you face, no matter what you go through, no matter what someone says to you, no matter what you experience, I promise it will remain untouched. The peace within your own heart, if it is from Christ, is something that will last onto the ages. I promise you. I promise you. No chaos, no storm, nothing can touch it. The Holy Spirit in us is the presence of the Prince of Peace with us. We sing, especially during Christmas season, our God is what? With us. Emmanuel. That's who He is. That is what He shall be called. And Isaiah 9 says He's the Prince of Peace. He is with us and He is in us. There's a guy named Blaise Pascal. He was a mathematician and a theologian, and he wrote a ton and he did a ton. But he says this, and I always go back to it because I think it's really powerful. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. Let me say that again. All of humanity's problems stem from man's inability to sit quietly in a room alone. My encouragement to you is this. When you think about sitting in a room by yourself, just your thoughts, just the thought of it may stir up anxiety if you're being honest with yourself. But my encouragement to you is this Christmas season, at some point, find a time where you can go and sit with God. No matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, That may be repulsive to you. That may be anxiety stricken for you. Whatever your thought, my encouragement to you is if you want to really strive after peace within your own heart, go sit with the Prince of Peace and see what happens. And I'm not saying go sit with him so that you might get something from him, but I'm saying go sit with him so that he might get all of you and that he might be to you what he promised to be, which is the Prince of Peace. If for nothing else, if you get to, on the other side of this holiday season, say, I went and I got to spend 15 minutes alone with the Creator of the universe, wouldn't that be sufficient? Wouldn't that change the way that you look at your relationships with your family? Wouldn't that change the way that you interact with your coworkers and your boss and the things that you go through? Wouldn't that change the way that you handle things at home that don't seem to be going really, really well? I promise you, it would provide a layer of peace in your heart that you would be able to endure no matter what comes your way this season. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 says, "And let the peace of Christ, to which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts and be thankful." Peace within is possible when the Prince of Peace himself places peace deep within us to rule in our hearts. So the second is, when we give glory to God, we have peace within. And finally, when we give glory to God, we have peace with others. When we give glory to God, we have peace with others. Matthew chapter 5 is the beginning of what's known as the Sermon on the Mount. I already referenced it, but Jesus is doing this huge sermon to thousands of people on the hillside of the Sea of Galilee. And he starts with what's called the Beatitudes, these blessings. And he says this. He says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." This passage has always fascinated me because it shows that peace with other people is inevitably going to be disturbed. Relational harmony with people is not going to be a standard. It is going to require that those that follow Christ are going to have to make peace with people. It's the nature of it. It is inevitable. So Jesus says in his most famous sermon, in the intro of his most famous sermon, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God." So even though peace with other people is inevitably going to be disturbed, there is a promise of a blessing that comes from those of us who follow in obedience to make peace with those that it does not exist. Another thing is peace. This passage says that peace is not something that comes about by happenstance. All right? Blessed are the peace happenstancers. No. Blessed are the peace makers. Blessed are the ones that make peace, like a craftsman seeking to make something that does not yet exist. Peace, too, must be made with intentionality and effort. To be a peacemaker and to live in peaceful relationships with others means to be wholly consumed. Listen to this. Means to be wholly consumed with a vision of what another person's life could look like if God transformed their life. A vision of the fact that that other person that I am at enmity and strife with, and there's just this something, this wedge between us, a vision to say that person is created in the image and likeness of God. I can take that step forth to make peace with that person. Why? Because the same price that was paid for my sins was paid for theirs. The same God who created me created them. The same God who went to the greatest lengths possible to show me how much he loves me did the same for them. Maybe for you it's a parent. Maybe it's a parent. Maybe you've had distance from one of your parents for whatever reason. It doesn't matter. Whether they know Christ or they don't, you're just at odds with them. And there's never a harmonious relationship. There's never peace between you and them. Maybe it's a sibling. Maybe it's a sibling that you're estranged from and you haven't talked to in a really, really long time. Maybe it's a neighbor. That one person that you cannot stand to see when you pull down the street or when you come back to your apartment complex. Maybe it's a coworker or a boss, someone at work, whoever it is, and whatever they have done. So whoever it is, they're created in the image of God. And whatever they have done, your sins are just as forgiven as theirs. Whoever it is, what would it look like for you to say, this Advent season, I'm going to walk in the blessings of God and be a peacemaker in every area of my life? When you're in those scenarios and when you're in those relationships and things aren't going your way and you are so tempted, I know you are because I'm preaching to myself, you are so tempted to complain about just how bad things are. What if you turned that around and you said, you know what? God is glorified. God is glorious because of who He is, because of how He saved me and He has set me free. And because of that, I can go in the power of the Holy Spirit to make peace with this person. We'd be having a different Christmas season, wouldn't we? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Peace being made is not something that just happens by us, but also something that has happened for us. Peace being made is not just something that we're supposed to go and do, but is also something that has been done for us and on our behalf. This baby, as we wrap up, this baby that was born, that the angels came to those random shepherds out in the field and said, hey guys, let me tell you about this baby. This baby that was born in Bethlehem just up the road has made peace with you and God a reality. Has made peace in every circumstance of your life possible, has made peace between you and them accessible. This baby that was born has made that a reality for you. That is why they came and sang this particular song. This baby would grow, and with the same innocence as when he was just born, would grow in sinlessness and perfection and would live the life that God said, you know what, all of us are supposed to live. Every single one of us, perfect and holy. And if we're honest with ourselves, failed to live. He lived perfectly, and he grew. And he did ministry, and he went out, and he loved people, and he made peace with people. He was the Savior. He was the Christ. He was the Lord of Lords, the one that these people had waited for thousands of years. And he had finally come. And because of who he was, and because of what he said, the people that he came for killed him. They drew nails through his hands and through his feet. And the most torturous way possible, killed him. This same baby that we're talking about, full of innocence, full of grace, and full of truth, was killed by the ones that he came to save. And whether or not the people that killed him realized it then, they certainly do now, that he was who he said he was. And he came to do what he came and did what he said he was going to come and do. And that was reconcile a fallen, sinful, broken humanity back to a perfect, holy Creator in heaven. He did it, and he said, it's finished. And because he is resurrected, because he is seated at the right hand of the Father today, you and I can have this peace that was proclaimed. So, I want to encourage you tonight, no matter where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter what you think of when you think of Christmas, whether you think of amazing traditions and it's super nostalgic and joyful and peaceful, or whether it's not, because you've lost someone and this is your first Christmas without them, and you're kind of scared and you don't really know how it's going to go, or it's not because you know you're going to have to go be with that family member. You're going to have to go have dinner with so-and-so. What? No matter where you're at, no matter what you've gone through, my encouragement to you is to glorify God now in your own heart, in your own home, and in every single relationship, and peace will flow. questions I want to ask. Is it time for you to begin living at peace with God and stop trying to earn His favor and appease His anger? If it is, you look to the manger, you'll find your answer. Or have you been living for too long with anxiety and fear and worry about tomorrow? At this manger is afforded you peace no matter what life brings. Or is there someone in your life that you know that God has called you to be the one who takes the first step, the one who goes forth to make peace possible? Remember how Christ initiated peace with you by first coming. We celebrate tonight this first Advent. Jesus Christ, His first coming. And we together ask and we proclaim and we sing, Christ, come again. Lord Jesus, come again. Because when You come, all will be made right. Every tear will be personally wiped away by Him. And He will rule and reign in a kingdom and a dominion that will have perfect peace forever. Let's pray. God, we love You. And we say thank You. And we worship You. We say glory to God in the highest heaven. Glory to You, God, this God, the God that loved us, the God that sent His own Son for us so we could have peace with Him. We say glory to You, God. We worship You, we thank You because You've done that. We thank You for who You are, that You are the Prince of Peace. God, I pray for the one in here right now. I pray for the one in here that's been questioning whether or not they even have a relationship with You. For the one that may be living in an unlocked jail cell, feeling like they just can't get out of it. God, I pray that they would see the door swung wide open for them because of You. Because of Your sacrifice. Because of Your blood shed for their forgiveness of sins. Holy Spirit, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself. That You would call them to this life of peace with You. God, I pray that as a church, that as a body, we would be ministers of this peace, ministers of reconciliation in this city. God, I pray that the city of Atlanta would be different because we are here and because You're doing something in and through us. God, I pray for peace. I pray for a stillness in every single one of our hearts. That as we reflect during this season, that You would remind us of how You have first saved us, how You loved us, and how You are always with us. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.